Welcome to the Align Business Podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Kerslake, CEO of personal branding agency, Pinegate Road, and business coach to online service providers, coaches, and educators. I know that you believe that living a great life is so much more than the business that you lead or the money that you make. Each week, we'll dive into what it actually takes to live an aligned life with a business that supports it. Let's do this. This show is brought to you by the Align Business Academy. Are you so ready to go all in with your online business and hit six figures this year in a way that feels fulfilling and true to you? Apply now for the Align Business Academy. This is our signature program that helps you scale your online business with one-on-one and community support, a framework for learning all things online business, and a proprietary three-part system for scaling while working way less than you are now. Say hello to more freedom, income, and impact. Apply now at pinegateroad.com/academy. That's pinegateroad.com/academy. Hello there, and good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is while you're listening to this. I am excited to have you here today. Again, as always, this show is going to be a little different. This is something that I have been wanting to share for a very long time, and it felt like the story wasn't complete. It felt like I was still in the midst of a lot of this, and it didn't feel, I guess, like the right exact time to share all of this. I think I'm such an open book type person. If you have been around here, if you know that, if you watch things on Instagram or whatever. And the other week I actually posted a little story and I was offline for an entire probably like week and a half where I didn't post. And that's really abnormal for me. I love posting and it's something that feels really good and natural for me, not something that I feel like I have to force. And to not be online, to not really be showing up, to not be sharing, it just felt weird. And I was processing a lot. I didn't know how to show up. I didn't feel like showing up. And I just needed that time and space. And so I took it. I just did. My business will stay. I have amazing team supporting everything, thankfully. And if I don't show up on social media for a week or two or a month, like, everything's fine. Very thankful to be in a place in my life and business where that is the case. And this story, as much as it really kind of like things really went down in the past couple weeks, I think that this is a bigger picture story that I have not been sharing about necessarily, probably bits and pieces. But I wanted to dedicate an episode to this because I know that as business owners, as women who have wombs and people who are wanting to start families, this can be a big thing that correlates to you growing your business and the ways in which you grow your business. And stuff has gone down. I really want to, so without me being too cryptic any longer, I really want to share about my mental health journey as well as my infertility journey. They correlate and like overlap a lot. They're not necessarily one in the same, but with the infertility journey came a lot of drugs and hormones and just things that really did end up affecting my hormones, which affected a lot of my brain chemistry, and things got a little bit crazier than I think they would have naturally been. So they kind of affected each other. And I just want to share a little bit about what has been going on, you know, as I was trying to start to have a baby and as things have kind of happened recently. So this is just my like open, weird life update. Feel free to ask me any questions or clarifications about this on Instagram. I'm so happy to chat about it. So I'm now actually at Kelsey Kerslake on Instagram. I officially separated Pine Gate Road, the business, and the Align business, the coaching business. So they are two separate entities now, and now I'm just my own human online. I'm Kelsey Kerslake. And if you want to connect with the other businesses, you can connect with the design agency at Pine Gate Road and the coaching business at the Align business. So that was actually kind of a fun thing that happened recently. So yeah, at Kelsey Kerslake. I'm like, where do we even begin here? It feels, this is just going to kind of be a messy from the heart podcast. And this is just what we're getting into today. So I think I'm going to go back, I'm going to go back all the way 5 years ago ish when I started taking my business full time. This was 2016. I had been diagnosed with endometriosis. I was engaged to Todd. We knew that we wanted to start a family like shortly after getting married because the endometriosis was going to cause infertility. I had my endometriosis surgery in April of 2016. So we're literally going back like about five-ish years ago. And as soon as I got that surgery, I knew that things were kind of like cleared out. Like I had kind of a clean slate within my body. So we decided to try and get pregnant as soon as we could after we got married. We did know that we wanted to wait until after the wedding to start having a baby and to like, yeah, not have to do that while planning a wedding. So shortly after we got married in February of 2017. So there was kind of this time period when I knew that my uterus was clear. That sounds so weird to say, but there was this time. And so I also knew that my business at that point in April of 2016 was a side hustle. I was making the same amount in my salary that I was in my business. Both were around the like 50K plus range. And so I was making six figures with like both of the things together, right? Which was cool. I had built up some savings and I was still terrified to quit my job. I just had it in my head that this would happen so much farther in the future. And with having this kind of like, I was thinking into the future. This is another instance where I've always kind of thought to that future self, like, where do I want to be in the next several years? And what decisions am I making now that will make that easier and more possible in the future? And so because of my cleared uterus, I was like, okay, when I have a baby, what do I want my life to be looking like, right? I knew that when I had a baby, I wanted to have whatever options I wanted to be available to me. I didn't want to have to be in a full-time job. I did not want to have to take, like, I did not want maternity leave to be up to somebody else. I was like, I will work really freaking hard to make sure that it is whatever I want it to be, right? And I knew that in order to have that maternity leave experience, that I needed to grow my business to a sustainable place where it could continue to grow and be profitable while I was taking leave. So this is kind of like that future vision, literally, like I backed things up and I was like, oh my gosh, I probably need to leave my corporate job right now so I can at least have a year where my business is full time and I'm learning how to like make that transition and actually grow and stabilize my business to this place where it can support me on a maternity leave. And so I think this is like, this is kind of what I love to do and what I love to support other people in doing too, is like making these like weird, hard decisions now that actually support the future that you're going into. So around this time with the endometriosis, with leaving my job, I had actually decided, like with knowing that I wanted to get to that point in my business before a baby, I was like, crap, I gotta leave my job now. Most of you know that I work for American Greetings, and they were planning on moving their entire world headquarters across town. It was like a 30-minute move across town. And so that was all happening in August of 2016. So basically, I decided that was a perfect time to just not move to the New World headquarters. So I gave my boss like 3 months notice. It was kind of this like, here's this future decision that I've made and what works best for like our team and the company and all of those things. I know that 3 months notice is weird. It's just what felt good for me. I just wanted to have that discussion with her because those discussions can be really hard and scary. I cried. You know, I cry all the time. And that was, I decided to do that. We, at that like same time, there was that whole summer where I knew I was leaving. I was growing my business. It was this big life transition. I was getting married. I was like healing from endometriosis and my mental health was not okay. This was the second time. I did take antidepressants when I was in college just for a little bit, but I felt like they didn't actually help me. So I went off them pretty quickly. And this was the first time where I realized, you know, I'm trying to do all of these things to make my health better. And the anxiety that I was experiencing was more than what I felt I could manage. It was just, I felt in this like constant state of worry, of fear, of like my heart racing about every little decision that I was ever making. I was working way too much. I was just taking on a lot. And so I felt my whole background, I've been in like kind of the health and wellness industry and been very natural about things. I thought I could meditate myself out of having depression or anxiety. And I think I just got to this point where I was trying all of those things so hard and I just needed the extra support. And I had talked to some close people in my life and just decided that this was a next step. I was calling like my best friend and like crying all the time. And that's really just a sign that like, if I'm just crying all of the time for no good reason, like that is not, she's like, you just need to go on medicine, like go get the support that you need. And so after many months of denying that I actually needed it and that I could solve it on my own, I decided to go on some antidepressant medicine. So there's like, that is a thing about me. And it really, really helped. It was the first time that a medicine had actually like, it just made being so much easier. I will say that my background has been a lot in like more of the anxiety stuff. So less depression, more anxiety and that constant worry. I get a lot of insomnia too. I think my brain just doesn't want to stop. I'm always thinking about clients and just things. And that is something I've definitely had to work on over the years. But that was the first time where I was like, this is too much. I need some support, and that helped immensely. So that was the first time where I wasn't on any like hormone stuff, but I did realize like I needed some support with this anxiety that I have had my entire life, and I got it, and things went really, really well. And then, so fast forward, we got married in 2017. I had been growing my business. It was, that first year was pretty treacherous. I don't know if I even like share too much about it. I do now, but back then, if you go listen to old podcast episodes, because I actually started this podcast in 2016, I don't know if I was like telling the whole behind the scenes, but things were like so up and down. I was really just trying to figure this out as I was growing and going and actually being on my own for the first time. And it was interesting. And so we got married. It became summer of 2017. And I decided, because as I was going to try to get pregnant, that I did not want the antidepressants to be in my system while I had a baby. This was a personal choice. My husband and I talked about it. I felt confident that things would be okay without having medication, and they were fine-ish. but it was a lot harder to navigate a lot of the ups and downs. And so a year passes, we don't ever get pregnant. And this is when, I don't know, just everybody's infertility journey is different. But for us, based on our age, I was 30 at the time. And they said, you know, we want you to try for a year before we like let you know that like you are technically classified as infertile and need specialty treatment. So we tried for a year. Nothing ever happened. I felt really discouraged. I wasn't getting any support with my medication, and that was just a lot. There was a lot of navigating the ups and downs, but I still felt like I was kind of able to manage it with diet and lifestyle changes until we really started going through the infertility process. And this was now the winter. This was like February 2018, and my doctors decided to do 3 rounds of IUIs to see if that would work with pregnancy. So look that up if you don't know what it is. But it's basically like the first line of defense in trying to get people pregnant if they think that it might be a viable option for you. And with that, they also put me on Clomid, which I think you can also look up. But some people are fine on Clomid. It's basically, I don't know exactly what it is, but it you know, does stuff with your hormones to help you be more fertile or something, produce more eggs, something. I don't know. And so I went on that per my doctor's instructions. And this was the kicker. This was the first time in my life that I really felt depression. And I'd never experienced it before. Before, everything was very much anxiety, and to actually feel the nothingness that came with depression was something I had literally never experienced before. And it was shocking. I remember, and this is still something that like I face when I have my depression episodes. But I just remember like feeling the absence of feeling, right? Feeling nothing. And just, I remember sitting on the couch, I always sit in the corner of my couch. It's, I don't, whatever. It's my little safety place. I think my dog is going to bark. And I remember sitting there just being like, I remember that in the past I have felt joy. So I'm just going to believe that I might feel joy in the future again, but I could feel nothing. I couldn't even think about feeling happiness. I couldn't feel sadness. I never got suicidal thoughts. And I remember sitting there thinking, I don't know if I, like, what is the purpose of life? Like, why does life exist? At that point, I was like, I know I felt joy in the past, even though I can't feel anything right now. So I decided to do the only thing that I like knew that I might be able to get support with, and that it was going to therapy. And I did that because I was just like, well, I guess I had the wherewithal to like know that that wasn't normal, and that the way that I was feeling was not how I should be, right? And so I decided to go to therapy because I was just like, I need to talk about these things. Like, this isn't normal, but I also know I should just go get some kind of support. So I did that. We did 3 rounds of the IUI, and every time I was on the Clomid, it was just like that. So I guess I just had some kind of terrible reaction that really aggravated, I guess, the depression symptoms that I'd never experienced before. But I knew that in order to have a baby and all of the things, like, I just had to go through this process, right? So it was navigating that, and it happened, and I felt better after I didn't have to do any Clomid. That was, I think, probably the worst mental place I'd ever been. Just having the like non-feelings and being pretty like numb to everything and not caring about anything, just nothingness, right? So yeah, that happened. shortly after that, we moved through the cycles of starting IVF. So we moved into that. That was, I mean, that's all the injections, all the hormones. It's like the big hurrah of infertility. And we are very thankful that the first round of it all did work out. And I was officially pregnant with Carter by the end of the summer. And he was born in April of 2019. So throughout all of that, I was having some more, like, you know, more anxiety, depression, but it wasn't terrible. I was able to manage it, and it felt like worth it to be off of the medication in order to not have medication while I was pregnant, which was a decision I was making under the guidance of my doctors. Do not take this as any kind of advice. I'm more just sharing like what my experience was. And so I thought I was fine. All of the things, pregnancy was good, minus the, you know, just worrying every step along the way. But I think like normal anxiety, not like over anxiety, just normal pregnancy worries, right? And the biggest thing that actually happened was my transition. This is where I'm going to probably start crying. The transition to becoming a mom. So that was really difficult for me, and I didn't expect it to be. I'd done everything that I could to get my business running, to plan a wonderful maternity leave where I could do whatever I felt like I needed to. And the actual reality of being a mom and taking care of another human and basically losing the identity that I'd had for my entire life and taking on a new identity of mom, and the sleeplessness and not getting support as far as like any kind of medicine. And I had a lot of issues with breastfeeding. I got mastitis. I had literally like no supply. I would pump for an hour and get like an ounce of milk, which you need 4 ounces of milk per feeding. And you do like 8 feedings a day. So I was like, I am this cow attached to this pumping machine. And I was honestly just kind of a miserable human. As much as I like love Carter and loved, like, I wanted a child and all of the things, the actual reality of my day to day being a new mom was I really did not like it. And my anxiety became the highest it has ever been. I would like spin in my head over every single little decision and do the research of, you know, what lactation bags am I using and which one is going to be okay? And is this one going to be better, or is that one going to, like, you know, cause him long-term damage because I chose like the wrong type of bag to put in my pumping machine? And that would be like an hour spiral that I would go into. And I also did not want to go back on medicine because I was like, that's going to be in the breast milk that I can like barely get out of my body. And then it's going to go into him. And like, I literally was just this like ball of anxiety and worry and totally not myself. I did go to my checkup at the doctor at like 6 weeks, and I was I was just really not okay. And I was in this place where she just held space for me. Thank you. And it was a place where I really, she just was like, she kind of talked me through, she did a little like probably talk therapy on me to talk me, through the reality of like getting on medicine to be able to support myself so I could actually support Carter, because I was not in a good place at that point. And I got the prescription, but I didn't fill it. And I felt like, back then, I just remember feeling like such a failure at being a mom, at like doing this role that I was just supposed to innately be doing. And I don't know about you, but I always feel like I I try to do really well at the things I decide to choose. And this was just, I just felt like I was failing so terribly at this. And it was so hard, and you're not sleeping, and it's just like, it was just so much. And I remember waiting for like many days to decide if I should even go on medicine. And I still had all of the spinny head thoughts. And it was, I had a lot of thoughts of like, my mom and my family are very like holistic, natural, anti-medications. And so I also have that just like internalized perception of what we should be doing, which I did decide in the past, obviously, to go against and to take care of what I needed to do for me. So at this time, I eventually I remember going on this walk with Todd, and like, I thought it was going to be like the biggest thing to like tell him that I was like maybe thinking of taking medicine. And he just was like, yeah, like you gotta, like you have to be okay. Like you're not okay right now. Like we're doing all the things and like you're just not okay. And so he thankfully was just like so supportive of the decision. And kind of just like holding space for all of my pretty irrational spinning head thoughts. And we decided as like a team, and he probably just like needed to decide for me because I was like not okay, that I needed to take the medicine and actually take care of myself so that I could actually be the mom I needed to be for Carter. And that was such a game changer. And immediately, like within a day or two, I just felt this like whole rush and release of like every big anxiety. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just like, I felt a little bit like me again. The thoughts were able to stop. I was able to make clear-headed decisions. I was finally able to sleep, a little bit. I mean, you still have a newborn, but that's a thing. And it just was the biggest relief that I've ever experienced from mental health things. And I still was dealing, I think, with the transition of being a mom. And I personally never really felt the huge, you know how people are like, my life has changed and it was love at first sight and blah, 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 like all the lovey-dovey things. I didn't personally experience. Carter was cute and all of the things, and he was so much work. and my just day-to-day living was so different from what I was doing before, and it was a shock to my system. I did decide to put him in daycare at 8 weeks. I was really ready to be able to have some personal self-care time back in my schedule where I was not, I think it's being the mom or parent, you are obviously 100% responsible for this human, right? And the weight of that reality that I had at every second of my being was a lot. And it's like you go into this knowing, and I just also didn't know. I didn't know what that would actually feel like being a mom. And you have to, in a way, put aside everything that is you to take care of this other human. And that was really a tough transition. And that whole first year was just a lot. I'm so thankful I decided to go on medicine. But the postpartum depression and anxiety, it still continued. It wasn't like it was over. I just had some support along the way. So honestly, it just really was like month by month, day by day, decision by decision, being able to take some time for myself to be able to have support was a game changer. And we got the daycare. That was really helpful. I was finally able to just have some time where like my responsibility was not Carter. I could just go shower or feed myself. And it was like somebody else's on the clock responsibility to, you know, meet Carter's needs, right? So that whole first year was just, it was really hard. And I thought that after a year, we'd be like, sweet, have one baby. When they hit a year, we're going to go for baby number two. No way. It did not happen. At year one, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like kind of starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel of like actually enjoying being a mother. And obviously, like, I enjoyed certain moments, but as a whole, I was like, what is this? What happened? Like, this is our life. And I don't want to say this in like a, I don't love my son kind of way. That is not the case. Like, it's this immense love, and it's this immense, like, what the heck just happened? So that's where I was at. And after a year, it really, well, weirdly, after a year, then the pandemic hit. So we were in, you know, March 2020. He turned one in April 2020. And so then we were back to the pandemic. We had no daycare. I was back on full mom duty. Todd has a full-time job that he took from home. And my job was the more flexible one. And obviously at that point I have team and all of these, like, I just had everything set up in a way where I had complete flexibility over my business. So I basically took on the full childcare of Carter again. And that was difficult for a couple months. Very thankful, again, for my business and my team that allowed that to be cool and fine and work. For many months, I just worked on nap times. And so I worked probably about 5-ish hours a week if I could, or felt like it. I really was just taking that time to, you know, be with Carter as much as possible. And nap and sleep and take care of myself. And around the summer is when we did find his nanny, who he's still with. She lives in our neighborhood. We've had this little, like, COVID safe pod. He has another, like, another family. They have their son come over too. So he has a little friend, and that's been amazing. So we eventually did get support, and it was really, you know, COVID, that was hard, like, not being able to get the support. We didn't have friends or family or, like, really anybody coming in. And I mean, obviously we've all been through that, right? So I feel like I'm just giving you the timeline of my whole life. So anyway, that all happened. We made it through the holidays and then into the new year. So now it's 2021. And after this year, I think in January, February, Carter was almost two. He turned two in April. And I finally, like, it's like the new year kind of hit. It was probably more like February. January still felt like pretty, like, just a lot of stuff going on. And around February, I was like, wow, I kind of feel like a real person for the first time in, like, 4 years. I started feeling like myself again. I started feeling like I just had that autonomy back in my life, that Carter was this wonderful asset to our family and this, like, little being that I love so much. And, like, also it didn't feel that immense, like, I love him and, like, he's also this huge responsibility. It almost, like, the responsibility that we have as parents felt like a joy. And I wasn't really feeling that for a long time. So it finally felt like, oh yes, we get to, like, spend time with this little human who is so cool and learning. And just, like, I was really enjoying being a mom, which was really awesome. I felt like I was finding my groove after 2 years. And so around this time, it was like, sweet. Like, we knew that we wanted two kids. We knew that we wanted to, you know, just start the IVF process as soon as we kind of felt ready to have a second baby. And so February, we're like, sweet, let's start trying to, like, generally have a second baby. So we started our appointments back up. I had to get a few, like, tests and things. And there's just, like, you have to wait for certain times in your cycle for certain things. And so in April, timing was finally right. I started going on hormones again. I was doing all the shots. We did have frozen embryos. So we are doing an embryo transplant embryo transplant. I don't know if that's what you call it. embryo transfer. And so we did that at the end of April, and 2 weeks later they do a blood test, and I was like, I found out I was pregnant. Yay. And 2 weeks later, or a week later after that, or 2 weeks later, I went for another blood test. My levels were still rising, so everything was good. And then a week after that, I went in for my first ultrasound, and I found out that the pregnancy wasn't viable. There was, it was just an empty gestation sac. And that was, I know everybody handles miscarriage, obviously, in their own way, and we all have these own journeys. And I can honestly say that I was like very well prepared for whatever to happen during this round. And I just knew that in general, as we were starting for baby number two, I was like, I know that this might not always work out. Like, it's always just been a part of my like underlying journey that that's that whole baby making stuff is going to be a little bit more difficult. And I never really got my hopes too up. So I do want to say, like, I obviously was like sad, and I did a lot of my self-care stuff to process that grief. I cried. I did some of my breath work. I moved through it. It was less, and that can happen. So that happened. And this was really the start of what happened just like a couple weeks ago, which is kind of what started the catalyst of me sharing this entire story with you. So the biggest thing here was not necessarily that the pregnancy wasn't viable. I was, of course, bummed, and I was just like ready to miscarry and ready to just be like, okay, this one didn't work, whatever. I'll like process and do my grieving, and we'll get on with the next one whenever it's ready, right? And so what actually ended up happening is that I started getting some extreme nausea. They said these are just normal pregnancy symptoms. I did not have this severe of symptoms when I was pregnant with Carter. Of course, every pregnancy is so different. And so I was feeling very, very ill. And it was right around the same time that we were going through some big launches, where I usually, my team, is able to take certain things on where like, I don't have to be present if I'm not available. And we have that built into our systems. And at this point we were doing two things where I had planned that I actually had to be visible and doing certain things within the business. So it was just a weird time because I was like, so out of it. I was in bed. I was like, if I move, I'm going to vomit everywhere. And it was just the physical ramifications of this were way more than I thought I would have. And it was like being caused. It's like one thing when you're pregnant and you're having those symptoms and you're like, sweet, this is for something. And I was just like, I'm having these symptoms and I'm just sitting here waiting to miscarry, right? That was the weirdest mindset thing that I had going on. So it was a really tough 2 weeks. And I just was like, I'm just not showing up. I'm sitting in bed. I did the bare minimum of things that I needed to get done in order to support the things that were happening in the business. And it was really hard to, I was not passing. Like you basically wait to miss whatever on my journey. I had to wait to miscarry, because it was so early on that they were like, there's almost nothing there. So they just wanted me to naturally pass everything that was happening, just like a normal period. And it wasn't happening. So, eventually after 2 weeks of kind of like being in bed, we finally got a surgery scheduled to remove what was going to miscarry. And that I was just so thankful to be able to get that because the physical symptoms I was feeling were just a lot. And as soon as that surgery happened, I felt so much better. I'm back to 100%. I feel amazing, honestly. And I know that going into this summer, I had a call with my self-care coach this week, and I was like, I feel really at peace about all of this. And I know that the timing was not meant to be for some bigger reason that I don't yet know, but I know that this summer was like not meant to be the time. And based on some of the next steps that we have to take, because I did have a non-viable pregnancy, it's probably going to be 3 or 4 months before we're able to do the process again. So I'm going to have the summer not being pregnant, which is what it was meant to be, right? And so that is what I've been through. And I don't have any lessons for you. Not really. I just wanted to share my story with all of that. I think that sometimes we keep some of these things in. We don't share these parts of our lives because they're hard. They're not fun. And I think sometimes that can make us feel a little bit more alone if we are going through things like this. So I felt it was just really important for you to all hear that part of my journey, to learn about kind of my history with mental health things. I don't feel solved. I don't feel like I have the answers. I'm obviously still navigating it, and I have tips and tools and tricks in my tool belt that I use to, you know, help myself when I'm in certain mental situations, which have been awesome. And I've gotten a lot of healing and coaching and therapy around all of those things because I know how important it is to get that support. I'm obviously, you know, I'm a huge support of or advocate of getting support when you can, and even getting the support when it feels really scary to do so, because we're not meant to go through things alone. And that I have those tools in my toolbox to be able to pull out a good cry, breath work, calling my best friend, a salt bath, going for a walk. Like, I'm just like, what can I do now to heal and process and expel the energy of like whatever is happening? So yeah, now I'm here this week with you all, and I have this new outlook for summer. I'm just gonna enjoy it and find some more alignment and like see what the bigger picture is. I don't know why this happened and what it's opening space for, but it's for something, and I'm here for it. And another thing I do want to bring up is actually this time around with getting pregnant for baby number two, I advocated for myself and I did the thing that I actually probably should have done the first time. And I'm staying on my medicine for this second pregnancy. And last pregnancy, I would have like never done that because I was like, must do everything perfectly to like make this the perfect pregnancy. And this time I'm like, the best babies come from happy, stable mamas. Or that's just my, like, the more I can take care of myself as a human, the more I'm going to take care of the rest of the people in my life. And so I'm choosing to take care of my baseline, mental health and sanity. And for me at this time in my life, that means continuing to stay on medication as I navigate this so that I don't have the same kind of severe reactions going into pregnancy and postpartum for next baby, if and when that happens. So I just also wanted to share that decision. I'm like very proud of myself because past Kelsey would have never been able to make that choice for herself. She would have sacrificed and suffered through it all just to like, I don't know, be more perfect or something. And I'm so excited to have a second pregnancy eventually where I'm gonna be mentally more stable. That will be great. I'm really excited for that. It'll be really awesome. I know it'll happen for me when it's meant to. If it's not, it won't, and that's okay too. And yeah, thank you so much for being along with me on this journey and being open to talking about this stuff and hearing about my journey when it comes to health and wellness and babies and motherhood and mental health and infertility, all those things. And again, if you have any questions or you're just like, want to talk about this stuff a little bit more, anything I didn't mention that I know sharing, hearing about other people's stories was always so helpful for me. So I'm just like, I'm going to go share my story. Hopefully it can be helpful for you to reflect on if you're going through anything similar. And I'm so here to chat more about it behind the scenes. Well, even publicly, I'm just kind of like, what else would you want to hear? I don't know. So yeah, there's my story. And thank you for allowing this time and space for me to even process. I feel like sharing is sometimes even more helpful for the person sharing. So I appreciate you being here and being open for all of the sides of life and business and just everything that we are experiencing as our time here on Earth as humans. So have an amazing day. I will talk to you soon, and I'll see you here next week with another episode. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. If you've enjoyed the show, please take a few seconds right now to leave a rating and review on iTunes. It's so simple and helps us so much. This is incredibly helpful for getting the show into more ears so that we can make even more impact. I'm sending you so much love. I hope you have an amazing week. You've got this.